Well, hello there, Meow Mentors. It's Cat Lady Justin, and you're watching The Kitty Boss. We're listening, and this is where we pick, pamper, and protect your practically perfect pussycat for a lifetime of unconditional love. Today, we actually have, of course, our regular co-host, Dr. Rachel Geller, one of the world's top cat behaviorists, cat chaplains, and the president of All Cats All the Time, a charity that helps people on low income to have a cat and access all the stuff that they need for cats. But we also have a surprise guest. No, we actually have two surprise guests. So let's welcome Dr. Rachel Geller first, our regular co-host. Dr. Rachel, I see that you're doing well. It's good to see your happy face as always. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Thank you. And next, I want to bring in a very special surprise guest, Sarah Jane, who is the producer and the director of a brand new movie that's cat related, of course, right? Called Cats of Malta. So, Sarah Jane, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me here, Justin. It's great to be on the show.
It's a pleasure. And we'll talk about the movie in a minute. And of course, our other surprise special guest is one of our biggest fans, or well, Dr. Rachel's biggest fan, Michael. Michael, welcome to the show. And it's really great to have you for your color commentary today, as well as anything you care to say or ask about cats as we answer questions. We've got some really great questions we're going to dive into today. So without further ado, I say we get started. Does that sound good, guys?
Awesome.
Sounds good.
Okay, great. So first, I'd like to, we'll get into the questions in a minute, but first, I'd like to talk to Sarah Jane just a little bit about the movie, because I'm very excited about the movie. I'll be honest with you, I haven't seen it yet, but maybe Sarah Jane wishes to, I don't know, send me a link or tell us right now where we can all see the movie or when we can all see the movie and where. So Sarah Jane, when and where can we see the movie?
Okay, so Cats of Malta is currently streaming worldwide. You can watch it on in the UK and also around the world in the US. So if you go to catsofmaltafilm.com, all the links are there. You can watch the trailer and read about the film. So I'll just tell you a bit about it.
Yes.
It's a family-friendly documentary giving a voice to the island's stray cats and cat culture through candid interviews with charismatic local feeders, artists, and volunteers.
That sounds awesome. So catsofmalta.com, CATSOFMATLA
.com.
Catsofmalta.com. And of course, I say that. Sorry?
Catsofmaltafilm.com, sorry.
Catsofmaltafilm. So CATSOFMATLAFILM.com. Catsofmaltafilm.com. It's very important because most people will not be watching. They'll be listening to this on Apple, Google, or Spotify. So I spell it out so that they have it. But in the description, I'll put it in. So if you could send me that link on a messenger message, Sarah Jane, that way I have it for everyone. I have someone else who's popped in with no video. So let's actually find out who this is. Joe? Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Are you there?
Yes. I just wanted to listen in.
Okay, that's awesome. So listen in. If you want to say something, then just let me know so you can say something. You're more than welcome to listen in, but you're more than welcome also to ask questions and to say something. Okay?
Thank you.
Perfect. So
Joe is a fellow fan, Justin. Joe is an agent of mine, and I told him I was going to be doing this today, so he popped on in. Hi, Joe.
Okay, no, that's fine. That's fine. And Joe is more than welcome to contribute and speak, even if he's not on video. It's totally cool. I just it's nice to know. So I'm sure he'll somehow signal to us. And we already have something in a catsofmaltafilm.com. There it is. Okay, so this way, what I can do is PM. Oh, what's this? Hi. We have a hi from the crocheting cat behaviorist. Yeah. So we all know her. She creates and crochets lovely things for humans and cats. And so she's watching, which is really awesome. So anyway, so Sarah Jane, thank you for introducing us to the film. So what I'd like to do now is for us to go ahead and address one of the questions or the first question that we had from a really lovely person who tunes into our show regularly named Leslie Shale, was actually a guest last time, if you remember, Dr. Rachel.
Yes,
so Leslie is asking this. She says, it's not sure if it's silly to ask, but my two run about like idiots after eating. Is it normal? None of my other cats ever did this, even when they were younger. I'm hoping it helps the digestion, but not sure. So, of course, that's not a silly question at all, because, you know, as far as I know, you know, yes, it does help their digestion. If we're concerned, of course, we want to, you know, go see the vets. But Dr. Rachel, is there anything you'd like to add to that? Or
yeah, I mean, it is very common. People call it the zoomies, or, you know, their cats will start running around. A lot of times they will do it after eating, mm-hmm. and also after using the litter box. And there's a little bit of a survival instinct that goes along with this. So when cats eat or when they're in the litter box, they feel in a vulnerable position. Whenever they're eating, you know, cats are predators, but they're also prey. So whenever they're doing things like eating, drinking, or using the litter box, they are concerned about being ambushed. They're concerned about leaving behind scents. They're concerned about leaving behind deposits. So some cats, after they eat, will run around like crazy all around the house because they're just trying to, you know, get a predator or an opponent kind of off the trail of their scent. So they're running around so it's harder for the predator to come like directly to where they smell that food or smell that cat. Now, people will say to me, well, my cat doesn't do that, because that's usually the first thing somebody says when they explain why something might happen. So just like people, you know, we all have, cats are like us in that we all have different levels of what we need to do to provide like safety and security and survival. So for example, I personally would never go bungee jumping. That my survival instinct says to me, this is really not safe, not a good idea. I wouldn't jump out of a plane with a parachute either. But people do that, right? So, you know, just like people, cats have more or less of a survival instinct. So you may see them engage in these behaviors that are really rooted in staying alive. And when cats were living more outside, you know, getting that predator off of their scent.
Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of one reason why none of these questions are really silly questions, because cats are so individualized. It's always good. It's always good to ask. And always, we always say, if in doubt, you can always ask the vet. You can consult with a vet. You know, in the UK, we have ViDiVet and Jolie Care, you know, which are kind of consultations that are offered on, you know, a video app type of situation. Maybe there's a similar thing in the USA. I don't know. So it's just something to keep in mind, that if you need to consult a vet, but it's normal to have the zoomies. We just had a comment from Michael, from Mark, saying Michael is definitely Dr. Rachel's biggest fan after her husband, Mark. Okay. Yeah, that's that makes sense. So thanks for that. And we've also had a question. And Joe, thank you for asking that question. I'm going to address that question in a minute, because I wanted to, it occurred to me to ask Sarah Jane, if in filming the movie and noticing cats of the islands of Malta and all that, did you run into zoomies and that kind of stuff when you're filming outdoor cats? Because I've seen it, of course, in indoor cats, but I don't remember ever seeing cats outside like doing this behavior.
I don't remember any cats doing zoomies. Like inside the sanctuaries, they were coming really close to the camera and putting their face right into the lens. So we got lots of lots of just cats coming really close. But we didn't really have any zoomies. No, I don't remember seeing any of that, actually.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So it might actually be a behavior that's more common, you know, for like indoor or like, you know, house cats or cats that are, you know, more domesticated as opposed to more feral or living in colonies. But that's interesting. I thought I'd ask, because again, I never remember seeing this when I've seen outside cats in the outdoors. I've only kind of seen it inside. So it may be related to something like that, which is really interesting. And I've actually put a scrolling down there of what the link is. Of course, people who are watching can see it, people on YouTube and people watching on Facebook, but people who are listening can't see it. So just a reminder that it's Cats of Malta Film. com. They can watch this really, really cool movie. So anyway, thanks for that. But let's get back to answering another question, which we've just had in from Joe. Joe, I've put you back into audio because I'll read your question. It says, as cat age, why do they eat string or thread? Now, That's a really good question. I'm going to bring in, featured Dr. Rachel for that one again, because my answer is I don't know, because I didn't realize that is a feature of cats as they age. I kind of thought cats kind of are into string and thread and yarn at any age. And you got to be really careful with that because of what it can do in the digestive system, whether it gets lodged in there or not. They could poop it out, but you're running a risk of it creating choking or other digestive blockages or impediments. So that's a threat, I think, at any age. So Dr. Rachel, as far as you're aware, is this a young cat problem or an old cat problem or just an any cat issue?
It can definitely be an any cat issue. I mean, many cats will chew on inappropriate items, not only thread, but, you know, plastic is another common one that I'll hear, you know, cotton or wool. It's called pica behavior, and it's usually due to anxiety, nerves, or stress that cats will chew on inappropriate objects. But it can happen for other reasons too. It can happen because the cat has some type of a vitamin deficiency, and it might be that the cat needs more fiber in her diet as well. A common reason for chewing on inappropriate objects is also lack of fiber in the diet. So if this is a new issue as your cat is aging, then it would lead me to believe that there might be something going on with your cat that's causing her some stress. For example, maybe she's not hearing as well. Maybe she's not smelling as well. So she might be more prone to eat something that's not really food because some of her other senses are becoming weaker. The other thing is sometimes as cats age, they do get vitamin deficiencies because they don't eat as well or eat as much. So you might want to consult with your veterinarian to see if there is a medical reason why your cat is now eating thread as she gets older. If it's not a medical reason, then and it's something behavioral, then what you want to do is redirect your cat, you know, maybe either through play, through simulating hunting activities, to appropriate food, and just make sure, you know, you keep your cat safe. Like, be careful not to leave thread or items around that that she is eating. You could try some deterrents too. So sometimes I'll say to people to get a bitter anti-chew product. They make these for cats. They make them for dogs as well. But purchase a bitter anti-chew product. Coat the thread that she's eating, you know, with this product. Leave the thread out on purpose in the place that you know your cat is going to come upon it and eat it. And when she goes to chew or eat, it's no longer going to be the delightful, enticing piece of thread it once was. It's now going to taste yucky and bitter, and your cat will come to the decision on her own that, you know, maybe eating thread is not such a great idea.
Awesome. Thank you for that. I've brought Michael on. Joe, if you can let us know real quickly if that answered your question or if there was any more details about your specific cat that you'd like to share. I know you're friends with Michael, so that's why I sit there. So is that okay for you?
That was very helpful. So you answered that question very well. Thank you.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks, Joe. And Michael, anything to add to that for your friend Joe there?
No, I mean, I knew Dr. Rachel would have the answer to that one, and it's quite tricky. It's a tricky process to keep the cat from nibbling on that delicious string, for sure. That's great.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. So there's a tricky one for you. And how about you, Sarah Jane? In your film, did you notice cats eating, like nibbling at your cords, or was that an issue you noticed outdoor cats doing? Because honestly, again, it's not something I've seen outdoor cats do. I haven't seen them with pica behavior eating non-edible stuff. I've seen them eating grass. You know, I've heard of cats eating, you know, plants that are toxic that they shouldn't be eating, but I haven't seen them eating non-edible things. So how about you in seeing these sort of outdoor colonies?
We had a cute cat in the sanctuary in Animal Guardians actually playing with the sound recorder cord. So we had the headphones on and we had the wiggly cord, and it found that fascinating. It was playing with it and trying to bite it. So that was cute. Yeah. And we had cats all over us. So they were playing with the equipment and they wouldn't get off the bag. So
there's something attractive about that. So there you go. There's another answer for you. Well, we've got another question, which I will happily read. This is from our good friend, Jennifer, who regularly listens, so hopefully she's going to be getting this answer. So here's a question for you. My daughter's cat sits on the couch and stares at the walls for hours. Do cats sense paranormal objects or activities? Now, this is appropriate because guess what? Today, this is a Friday the 13th. I forgot to mention that. It's also October, so this is Halloween month. So this could not be a more appropriate question about for that. Now, before I bring in Dr. Rachel for her expertise as a cat behaviorist, as a, from a scientific perspective, I'm going to talk about my sort of foo-foo, if you will, perspective regarding spirituality and other, let's say, complementary or alternative ways of looking at it. Because the straight answer to your question, Jennifer, is yes, cats will sense and do things that are beyond the perceptions of a human being. Now, another friend of ours in our network has written a book about cat chakras recently. So this is not this episode isn't devoted to that. But this person will do energy work with cats and with their owners and will also receive messages from cats. We also know the history in Egypt and mysticism around cats. So, you know, it, whether you want to call it a belief or whether you want to call it an intuition, there are many of us that will agree that cats do see things that we don't see. Now, whether that's a ghost or a paranormal thing, that's another discussion. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know that. But I do know that they do see things. They do see things. What those things are, I can't say. But they are perceiving things. They're not just randomly looking around at nothingness. There is something there, whether that's an entity, an energy, whether that's something very small that you can't see. And hey, we know that dogs can hear outside of our perception of hearing, right? That's why there are dog whistles that we can't hear that are painful to the dog's ears. So isn't it within the realm of possibility that a cat is perceiving something with its eyes that your human eyes aren't seeing, or with its ears and eyes, so that it's a 360 perception, you know, because they can turn their ears, you know, like an owl can turn its head. So that's kind of my answer from that perspective, Jennifer. So let's bring in Dr. Rachel from a behaviorist perspective. So Dr. Yes. Rachel, what do you have to say to that? Am I crazy?
No, I would never say that you're crazy, at least not out loud and not on your show.
Wrong. Thank you.
But cats definitely are very perceptive animals, and they're not only are their ears and their eyes much better picking up things than we are, but they also get a lot of information from their whiskers. So it is a common thing that, you know, the cat will just be sitting there staring at the wall, and we're looking at that wall and we see absolutely nothing there. So what exactly is going on? Well, this is the most common thing that when I speak with clients about this is that they find out that there were like mice in between their walls, or rodents, or even animals right outside, you know, where a window is. And the cat sometimes is hearing, you know, the little pitter patter of mice feet. So that's one possibility. But, you know, their senses are so much stronger and sharper than ours are. So it could be a shadow that you're not seeing. They're even sensitive to changes, you know, in the air and wind and things like that. So there's so many things that to us seem, you know, innocuous or not important or aren't reaching our senses, but the cat is picking up on something and is reacting to that by just kind of staring and being on alert. The other thing is, cats are animals that do a lot of things based on associations. So maybe there's not something right at that moment that the cat is looking at the wall, but if there was something a day ago or 2 days ago, then that cat is going to go back to that wall or back to that spot where she did see something and monitor that territory and be there to let whatever it was that she saw know that she's there to stand her ground. So some of it is just kind of like monitoring and keeping an eye on things because the cat saw something at another time.
Yeah, that makes sense too. I forgot about the whiskers. Those are really sensitive sense organs, which is really important to remind people that you don't trim them. They're not just hair. They've got a lot of feeling in them. They're sensory perception things. They're quite interesting and fascinating. And I wish they'd be studied more. So Sarah Jane, did you notice any paranormal activity while you were filming Cats of Malta?
No, I didn't. No? Okay. I was listening to Dr. Rachel talk about the winds. We do have a guy who made a wind vane, a weather vane, and he put a cat on top of it. And he actually talks about how the Maltese people believe that the way that the cat is licking itself that day, that's how the wind is moving. And that's what you should watch. So as part of Maltese lore, there's a couple of stories that he talks about. So they made a weather vane with a cat to represent that lore in Malta. So it's interesting about the wind.
That's really cool, actually. And and Michael, how about you and your cats? Any, did you ever notice any paranormal activity? Because I've noticed that my cat is able to sort of apparate, to borrow a Harry Potter. I love Harry Potter also. To borrow a term from the wizarding world, like it just seems like they're on the third floor, and then like within they were like all of a sudden next to me on the first floor. It's like they apparated. It's like I don't know how they do it. They fly down the stairs. It's just faster than I could conceive. I'm of course joking, but have you noticed any paranormal activity with your cats?
I think that cats could be excellent home inspectors. You don't even have to hire the home inspectors. They could come in and sniff out all the issues with the house, whether it be rodents in your walls or mold or whatever. You know, they seem to have it down. You know, there's no doubt. I'm actually a believer in the paranormal, as Rachel knows. I would not put it past them. You know, I think they're smarter than we are in many ways. So they could detect things that we can't. And I'm on board that ship.
There we go. Me too. Yeah, especially on Friday the 13th. So we have, he loved that one wall, an inside wall, only stared at the one wall. Thank you. Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah.
I'm sure this is a comment from Jennifer. So there's something about that wall. And listen to what Michael just said. Maybe it's a ghost or a spirit or something, you know, apparition. Or maybe there's an issue there. You might want to have that wall checked out and pay attention whether there's either mold or whether there's roaches or mice. There might be something going on with that wall, or there might be nothing. It might just be the vibration of the electrical wires or something that are setting the cat off or interesting it in the wall. But it might be just worth having without committing too much resource to it, a little bit of an investigation in that direction.
Yeah, just it may not be a bad idea. And like I said, it could even just become a habit, you know,
after a while. Yeah,
because there was something at one time, and now it's part of that cat's repertoire to spend some time dealing with that wall.
Yeah, so there you go. So we have another question. So this question comes from our good friend Alex, who has some amazing, adorable cats that actually look like my cats, so I particularly like them. So I have three cats, and one of them seems to have decided to avoid walking on the floor at all costs. She works her way around furniture, radiators, leaps from drawers to bed, etc. Is there a reason for this? So that's an interesting question, because obviously, not knowing your cat, I could probably invent a whole bunch of reasons to guess why the cat is avoiding the floor, everything from perhaps the type of cleaner that you're using or disinfectant, or if it's a carpet, carpet deodorizer, perhaps there's an odor there that is unpleasant or even toxic to the cat. Certainly a lot of chemicals are. So I can certainly think of a bunch of reasons like that. Yeah. But Dr. Rachel, is there anything that springs to mind other than that?
Well, right. All of those reasons that you gave are absolutely true. Cats tend to want to avoid things that are too heavily scented, too perfumey. So depending on what you may use on your floors or your carpets. And, you know, like I said, cats are so motivated by associations and what happened to them in the past. So even if you're not using something smelly or perfumey or a little too strong right now, if you did in the past, it might take a while before that cat wants to venture back on the floor again. If you have carpet, cats will avoid something if they ever had pain with it. So one problem with carpet is cats can get their claws entangled in those loops of the carpet, and that can be very painful for a cat. And then after that, the cat will do everything within her power to avoid, you know, that floor, that carpet again. So it could be some association with a smell or a scent, like you already pointed out. It could be some association with pain. The other things is cats will start going for elevated surfaces to feel safe. So if something happened where your cat was startled or didn't feel safe, or your cat could even be seeing another outdoor cat or invader, you know, from the window. So there's so many reasons. You might need to do a little bit of detective work and kind of look around and see, you know, is there an outdoor cat from a window, you know, within view? What are the cleaning products that I'm using? Are my rugs the type that have like those loops that can become entangled in a cat's claws? You know, kind of look around from the cat's perspective and see if there's something that is scaring or deterring your cat from walking on the floor. If there's nothing and it's just something fun that she's discovered and she's enjoying it, cats do like to be up. Cats do like vertical space. They like to lord over everything. Your cat might just be having fun.
Yeah, well, let's hope it's that. But even if it's not that, Alex, I really do suggest that you do just a tiny bit of digging to figure out whether there's something there. Now, Dr. Rachel, it's a question for you, for me, to follow up on this. Now, let's say Alex does discover, okay, there's easy enough. It's the cleaning products. They're Dettol or something like that. Toxic to humans, toxic to cats. What's the solution for that? Of course, we know the solution to that is go get doesn't have to be a product that costs a fortune. You can get Ecover. It's a great company, non-toxic products, non-toxic to humans. You won't give yourself cancer. You won't give the cat either. But maybe get an unscented one, one that doesn't have a lot of essential oils in it and all that. So that would probably solve that issue if that's it. But let's say it is the carpeting with the big loops in that. Now, Alex isn't going to rip up the carpeting in her house. So what could she possibly do if she finds out that that's the issue?
So, you know, if it was the carpeting and the cat otherwise seems happy and fine, then let the cat, you know, continue on just avoiding that area. If it's, you know, if you are able to maybe pull up the carpet or put something on top of the carpet or, you know, some type of covering maybe, then that would be a good idea. If the cat is avoiding the area because there was some type of negative experience and you've since fixed that, but the cat is still avoiding the area, you might need to do things to create new positive associations with that area. And examples of how to create positive associations are, you know, interactive play with a fishing pole toy, let the cat have multiple captures, simulate a hunt, let the cat eat his prey that he's captured. Now he feels like he's, you know, the grand conqueror in charge of the territory, is a successful hunter. So these are all things that create new associations. She could put things down on the floor that would entice the cat to go inspect or, you know, sniff, like cat grass or catnip. There's even a product called catnip infused tissue paper that cats love, and it is very enticing. So she can try little tricks to kind of recreate
catnip sprays.
She could try Feel Away or Comfort Zone spray. These are synthetic pheromone products that trick the cat into thinking she's already scented that area with her own feel good deposits. So anything like that.
They're not stinky, by the way. So they're not like urine. It's not like marking territory. They're completely odorless and they don't stain anything. I was also thinking of the catnip sprays. I know Kong makes them and lots of companies. Yeah. I use that sometimes to trick the cats into popping up on the bed with me and stuff like that. So those work really well. Well, we have one last question for today before we call it a show. And that's from our friend Andrea from the south of England. So this is our fellow countryman here. And it's, why does my cat keep biting my leg? So I did ask her a follow-up to say, is it love bites or attacks? So it's not like aggressive drawing blood. The cat definitely loves her. She sent me a picture of them cuddling in the bed, you know, around the neck and everything. So it's not an aggressive hatred or anything like that. But she's wondering why every single time the cat's always like nipping and biting at the leg. So after having asked those follow-up questions, I personally am stumped at that behavior, because why else would a cat be doing that other than maybe play? Maybe the cat just is a little bit short on playtime and needs a touch more playtime, or complete play cycles. Because one of the things that you and I talk about a lot is the play cycle. So it's not just, I mean, everybody has their own terminology for it, but the, you know, basically what it is it's not just you play for, you know, 15 seconds or a minute or an hour and then that's it. It's the idea of you play with the cat and then you let it capture whatever you're playing with to simulate that it's murdered it and killed it. And then you give it a treat or a meal, but you give it a treat. So it simulates consuming or eating whatever it is. So that simulation. And then usually it likes to go sleep, but that's up to the cat. You don't have to worry about that. But just completing that cycle, it's almost like a human sleep cycle. So if you wake up and like it's in the middle of a sleep cycle, doesn't matter if you slept 15 hours, you'll be exhausted. But you could sleep 3 hours or whatever the cycle is and wake up at a complete sleep cycle and you'll feel great. You'll feel completely refreshed. So it's almost like that. The cats have that cycle that needs to be done in complete strokes. So other than that, I can't think of anything. So Dr. Rachel, is there anything you'd add to it, or, you know, why it'd be biting her leg?
Yes. So cats are natural born hunters. Cats need opportunities to hunt, stalk, pounce, and sink their teeth into something or sink their claws into something. If you're not providing that cat with the opportunity, if your cat's only opportunity for stimulation in hunting is your ankles as you walk by or your legs or your arms, that is what your cat is going to do. So yes, very important to complete that hunting sequence as you were talking about. The best way to do this is with a fishing pole or wand type toy, because then you can manipulate the toy. So when you get out that fishing pole type toy, you're not going to just sit there and go do 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 and wave it back and forth. You're going to mimic prey. You're going to think about how prey would act. Sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down. Maybe it's scurrying behind a piece of furniture. Maybe it's hiding under a chair. Mimic prey. During the session, you want your cat to get some captures, be able to touch the toy, be able to bite into the toy multiple times. Many people think that the whole idea of the game is keeping that toy away from the cat, but you want to simulate a realistic hunt. And within a hunt, there will be times that the prey is losing stamina. The prey may play dead to trick the cat. The cat will bite it or get to it, but not enough yet to kill it. So you need to have these kind of mini interim captures during the session. After about 10 or 15 minutes, you're going to start winding it down. Again, we're simulating a hunt. And there is no cat who's going to hunt for like 45 minutes or 2 hours. They'll hunt for about 10 or 15 minutes. So after that time, you're going to start winding the game down. The prey is getting tired. The prey is getting injured. The prey dies. And now you're going to let that cat have one last final juicy capture, sink his teeth into it, sink his nails into it, and follow this immediately with food. It can be a treat. It can be a portion of your cat's regular meal. It can be prescription food if your cat is on prescription food. But after that final capture, you must follow that with food. Cats expect to catch and kill, and then expect to be able to eat what they caught and killed. And if you don't end that play session with the food, you are leaving your cat revved up rather than calm down. And then the next time you walk by, he is going to bite your legs because he's still looking for that, you know, end to the hunt. He's still looking for that final piece of that hunting sequence, that play cycle, which is the food after the capture. And as Justin mentioned, now we have placed your cat into his natural, feeling good, hunt, eat, sleep cycle, or hunt, eat, relax cycle. And your cat is going to feel very satisfied and rewarded. It's very frustrating for a cat not to have that final capture in the food. Your cat is wondering why all of her great hunting techniques don't seem to be working so well. So you really want to be able to end every session with that final capture and food. And if you do this consistently, your cat will stop going after your legs or your ankles to get that feeling.
Unless it's a vampire and it needs your blood. No, I'm joking. That's a Halloween, Friday the 13th joke. And then Andrea, because you're in the UK and I'm in the UK, one of the coolest choice and cheapest is the cat dancer. I mean, Dr. Rachel introduced me to it. My cats love it. I just looked it up on Amazon. It's like £3.50. So it's really cheap. I've sent you the link so you don't have to look for it. You can get it on Amazon. It's really great. Any fishing pole toy is good. but those are the ones that seems to drive cats like really enthusiastically into it. So it's called the cat dancer, but I sent it to you. Anyone else want it? Just let me know. But I'm in the UK. So my Amazon is Amazon UK, but it's available everywhere in the world. It's a really cheap, really awesome cat toy.
I'll just say one of the things I love about the cat dancer is because it has a wire, it moves in very unpredictable ways. And as you mentioned, your cats really enjoy this. And most cats, it's my go-to toy. Most cats love the cat dancer because it does move in very unpredictable, in ways that are not a pattern. And that is enticing to a cat because that's how prey would act.
Yeah, like a fly or something like that. So just as a last word, Sarah Jane, did you notice any playful fun times with cats of Malta while filming? Did you have any cat friends that you were playful with or maybe they were a little pesky and they, bit at you instead of just the cords?
There were a lot of cats playing and we captured that on the film. There's some really cute ones in the sanctuary because there's like 300 cats. So they're all rolling around together and biting each other. And some of them are really cute, like headbutting each other, and they're all very playful. Some of them are not used to humans, so they will like hiss or they've had trauma. Some cats you can't go near. But we didn't interfere with the cats. We just, filmed around them to see what would happen. So, and we got a lot of
cute. So that's great. So to see some of these awesome, cute moments, make sure you go to catsofmaltafilm.com to check out this film and these cute moments we just talked about. So there you go. That's what we had to say. Wow. Okay. Speaking of Zoomies, I just had the reason I'm like this is because Emily just had some Zoomies over there in the other side of the office. So speak of the devil. I don't know what she ran into. What she saw on that wall, but maybe there's a ghost or something, and there you go. So there you go. So guys, is there anything you'd like to say or ask before we end the show today?
I'd like to just wish everybody a happy cat Halloween.
Oh, that's an awesome little cat toy. I like that. Joe, by the way, I've put you on again. So if you have anything else you'd like to say or ask or forever hold your peace, or at least until next show, I've also enabled you to unmute and do that as well, Joe. So Sarah Jane or Dr. Rachel, anything else?
Just have a very happy and safe Halloween. Keep the candy away from your cat. Be sure to be careful with the door, opening and closing a lot during Halloween and make sure your cats are in a safe and secure place. And last, not only is there Halloween at the end of the month, but there's my birthday at the end of the month.
Okay. Let's all wish, we won't sing. I won't make you sing in case you're not a singer, but let's all wish Dr. Rachel a very, very happy birthday. She's our favorite witch. I mean, our favorite cat expert, cat behaviorist and cat chaplain. So Dr. Rachel, on behalf of everyone at the Kitty Boss, the whole litter, have an absolutely lovely, wonderful, perfect birthday.
Thank you. So I
know I'll probably send you a private message on the day, but I just wish you now publicly and on behalf of everyone. So happy birthday, Dr. Rachel. And yes, great reminder. Even if you have an outdoor cat, consider keeping it in during Halloween, trick-or-treaters, all that stuff. They might have no bad intentions, but they might have accidents. So to avoid potential heartbreak or ingestion of materials or candies that they shouldn't do, keep your cats inside and watch the door as you open it to hand the candy out so you don't get the little sneaky one running away. Those are all really great tips for Halloween coming up at the end of the month. So thank you. Sarah Jane, anything you'd like to add for our Halloween special? Of course, you can remind everyone about your film or anything else.
So Cats of Malta is streaming in the UK on Apple TV, iTunes, on Amazon, as well as Google Play. So I hope everyone has a lovely Halloween. And if you want something to watch, you can watch Cats of Malta with your cats.
Yeah, I think we all should do that. I think I might absolutely watch that with my partner tonight. So I've got our evening sorted. So thank you very much. And I will see you. Thank you for joining us, Sarah Jane. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Really, really lovely to have you. Michael, as always, it's great to have you participating. It's finally great to have you on the show. So thanks for joining us. Dr. Rachel, as ever, it is a pleasure to co-host this particular catch-up with you. So we'll see you next month for our November Thanksgiving special.
Yes.
And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. This is Cat Lady Justin, and it's the Kitty Boss, where we pick, pamper, and protect your practically perfect pussycat for a lifetime of unconditional love. Make sure you tune in next month so that you can see our Thanksgiving special. Oh, and happy Halloween.